Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of SparkCast. Today, I am joined by our director and leader of Spark Erotic, Urvashi, Raffy the dog. My name is Remy, and today we're going to be talking with Wade Jones.
Hey.
Wade is one of our newest members of Spark Erotic. We were lucky enough to have him out for a photo shoot not too long ago, at the time that we're sitting here and filming this. So welcome. Thank you for sitting down with me.
Appreciate Thank you your for time. Allowing this opportunity and this. I'm really excited. I've been really looking forward to this trip.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It was really cool.
So yeah, so for the people at home, you live in California.
I do.
Spark Erotic is, of course, based out here in Colorado, so you just got done driving all the way out here.
Yep, 1,160 miles.
1,160 miles. How long did you do that in?
I did it in 2 days. 12-hour push the first day, and then a solid 8 hours the next.
You are a madman.
It was beautiful, but it was wrong. It was a rough ride.
Yeah. It just shows how much you wanted to be out here.
I did, exactly.
And get to see us again. Welcome to how was the drive? Like, was it?
It was the longest interstate road trip I've ever taken, and it was much better than I thought it was going to be, and it just added to the whole my vacation, coming out to see my friends. It set it up perfectly, just this beautiful time to just really decompress and allow myself the opportunity to enjoy this trip, to come out and see my friends, and whatever happens from here is just benefit.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's just kind of dive right into this. You know, here on the SparkCast, we tend to talk to people, you know, in casual conversation about just sex and kind of get to know all the players that are involved in Spark a little bit more. So one of the first things that I wanted to ask you was, you know, we had that experience with you getting to sit down and do your first photo shoot with Spark. But as I understand it, that wasn't actually your first time having professional photographs taken. You've gotten to do that before.
Correct. I've done some stuff in the past that was always kind of, for me, it was edgy. It was implied. It was nude. And the photographer that I was working with at the time, Aaron, very, very nice guy, very well done with his work. But he was also very, again, he was very much so into me. So there was that dynamic of knowing that he wanted me to express myself and branch out and really open up, but there was this reserve that I had because of my own inner battle with sexuality and identity. And he really was kind of the start of it all. He really allowed me to safely do some work. He didn't push me anywhere one way or another. And anytime that I felt uncomfortable, he was very respectful, and I really appreciate his work. So that was my start. I've done some other things with some art, but nothing really fully nude or like body work and stuff. And so when I came out here the first time for my 35th birthday, and we got to do some work with you, I got to do a lot of work with you guys. That was probably a very pivotal moment in my life of, I had a vision in my head since I was a kid doing all that artwork and graffiti work, and then you guys brought me into a beautiful environment, and it just flowed. You guys created an environment that allowed me to just feel free and safe and comfortable and allowed me just to be me in a level that I wasn't even really familiarized with myself. And I learned a lot about myself in that first time out here meeting you guys. And as intense as that situation was, I'm even more excited to be here right now, and was extremely excited to coming out here, knowing who you guys were, knowing that you're my friends, and having this beautiful bond grow, and then going, what can we do now? Like, you guys blew my mind the first time. It's like, okay, yeah, what's next?
The first time around, it's a bit nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. You know, even having done something like that before, and having yourself exposed that way in front of a camera, there is that like nervousness of like, okay, I know kind of what to expect, but anything could happen. What kind of situation am I going to be in? So how did that come about? How did you go from being in California and then getting in touch with Urvashi and Spark? And then
that all kind of came through social media. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this last night, and we can't remember exactly how it started.
Right.
But a dialogue was started between Yavashi and I. And it was liking photos and it was appreciating the art, but then it wasn't like, oh my God, that's so hot. Oh.
Yeah,
it was like actually looking into the artistic side of things and complimenting on those that I think opened the doors to the dialogue that has led me to a beautiful friendship with so many people here. So obviously a very unique characteristic in Yavashi that just clicked with me, some kind of vibrational connection. And it coming out here again, it just solidifies that this connection is real, and it's really refreshing. I have friends that I've met. This is like honestly the second time I've met you guys, and I feel like I've known you guys for years. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Yeah. And there's not many times I can reflect back in my life and say that I have those experiences. This is definitely one of them. And it's not just one person. It's a group of people, super accepting, super welcoming. Very respectful and beautiful people.
Well, and there is something to be said for that you can go from, and I'm not trying to like toot Spark's horn with this, but there is something to be said that you can go from finding a company on social media, reaching out to them, being in touch with an actual person, and then saying, hey, this is me, I would love to be involved with that. And so did you find the process was then really, really easy to just...
When the door was opened, it wasn't like it was just cracked. It was wide open. Everything was very disclosed, very open, very... Everything had light on it. There was nothing in the dark, nothing in the shadows. And the great thing was you guys all asked my opinions and my thoughts and my visions as well, and you guys collaborated them together, and they just jived. You guys had the same idea. I mean, they may have been, obviously, in our minds, they're a little bit different, but you guys had a vision, and it just clicked, and it was easy.
Have you found that same sort of thing like with the other photographers that you've worked with and stuff like that, where they have more of a this is what I want to do with you kind of a vibe, and so Spark's different in that way?
Hands down. You guys take the cake in the sense of that, and I mean that wholeheartedly, because the persons I have done work with have, there's always been that kind of borderline uncomfortable, like, I don't know. There's almost like underlying motivation there. With you guys, it's been about art. It's about having fun, being creative, and being free to express oneself.
There's more of a shared responsibility. Yes. With everything that's going to go down. And
how everything is open. You guys talk about from start to finish, how... what you can anticipate. So that just takes the edge off of so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an anxiety person, anxious person. You guys take that off by just open communication. And you do it very well and very natural. And for me, that's pivotal. I have these visions in my mind and I know what I want to do, but is that person I'm working with, the photographer in the past, are they really working with me? Or are they really just kind of pushing me towards their end goal? Where with you guys, it's like, oh, you like that? Oh, I like what you just did there. And you guys just morph that in there and you integrate it in and you add it in and it's harmonious. So big difference for me from the experiences that I've had in the past, where you guys definitely work with the individual, you communicate with them. And you guys, with that, I feel, make some beautiful art. Straight up.
Like, you guys are awesome. We couldn't do it without having people like you to photograph and film. So speaking of that open communication, how does your personal life intersect with doing these sort of erotic photo shoots and nude photos and stuff like that? Like, where is the line for you with how much in your day-to-day life you let that be exposed?
Well, I've always kind of been told that I'm kind of a dualistic person. I have my job. Then I have my life, and they're very separate for just many different reasons. This itself with the erotica and the stuff that I've been doing with you guys, and even some of the stuff in the past that I've done, I keep it quiet because I don't, one, family, and some of my family may not agree with it, and that's fine. But it's more so the job that I have, because I do have a very different job than most people do. So I have to keep it separate. And with that, I look at it both ways. I keep my job very high standard and very professional, and I love my job, and I do my very best at it. But my life is my life. My hobbies are my hobbies. The things that I find enjoyment in, whether it's, you know, climbing a mountain or going on a random ass adventure and trying to rappel into a volcano, something totally random. Not that I've ever done that, but
not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Touché. It's just they're different. They're separate, and I keep them separate. There's a little bit of blending sometimes with my fitness that I do between the two, because that just bridges the gap. But my job is my job, and my life is my life. Mm-hmm. So for this, it's very, I wouldn't say private, but it's much more reclusive to the general populace, if you will.
Well, and Spark affords that too, with having a pseudonym that we can work under, and giving that ability to say, okay, hey, when I'm at work, I'm this person. When I'm with Spark, I'm Wade Jones. Yeah. And I do love that we get to encourage people to do that, because then that gives us more access to people that want to try it out, but maybe their career would shun them, or family wouldn't look on it too positively, or something like that. But you mentioned with your fitness and climbing mountains and stuff, yeah, like that.
That's
so yeah, yeah. So as I understand it, you're an avid rock climber.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
Since about 2002. We were talking earlier, and it was like when I used to go to Yosemite as a kid. I was always that kid with the binoculars, or just trying to find that speck of a person on a rock, and just being absolutely in awe as a child. How do they do that?
How do I get up to that?
How can I do that? Mm-hmm. You see the lizards climbing the rocks. How do they do that? But when you see a person do it, like, wow, there's this deep fascination, this curiosity. And I've always been the adventurous type of person since I was a child, going out and falling out of trees and doing stupid stuff and all those fun things you do as a kid in the mountains. But to actually be given the opportunity to go and climb, and knowing that I've always liked it and been attracted to it, but then do it and instantly fall in love with it.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us what it is that really stimulates you and attracts you. What is it that gets you about the rock?
The focus. When you climb, you can have fun with it. You can be lackadaisical with it. You can have fun with your boys, and it's usually a good time. But then there's those moments where it's absolutely pure focus, the most focus you've ever been in your life. You can't, the moment you become distracted, you fall, or you can't accomplish the crux of the climb, and you get pumped out, you get fatigued, and just you get so in your head, you defeat yourself mentally before you do physically. So when you're up there, I've always been a kid that loved puzzles. So taking a puzzle on the table and basically transforming it and putting it up on a rock wall and put those pieces together, every handhold is a puzzle piece. I got to grab it this way, and I got to do these. You learn how to fit that jigsaw, and when you put those pieces together, there's the route. Mm-hmm. And it's just finding the right pieces and putting them where they need to be, respectfully. But it's just you. It's not you, somebody, oh, take this piece and put it there. No, you have to do it. You have to see it. You have to focus on it. You have to go for it, and you have to trust yourself when you go for it. If you fall, you fall. You get back up, and you go back at it. But you trust yourself that I can do this. I believe in myself. And then the other factor for me is I'm having fun with this. It's scary. Sometimes it's fucking downright terrifying.
Yeah.
You get the Elvis leg, all these things. Like you shake and you can't. But when you get to the top and you've done it, I always laugh because people always scream at the top like, ah! Abso-fucking-lutely, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like, whether you do it outwardly or you're screaming in just victory, because it's just a big thing.
Do you have a way that you have found over the 7 years that you've been climbing, have you found a way to conquer that fear? Because I have to imagine at the beginning, it was much scarier, and then once you got a little bit of experience with it, you know, and then you try a harder climb, and maybe that's more frightening. Like, what do you do to overcome that fear?
To overcome the fear, it's that's something that's always kind of plagued my life, is living life in fear. And I think with climbing, it allowed me to recognize the fact that fear should not drive me. It's a motivator, but it's not a driving force. And the moment that you let it be a driving force, that's when you don't live your life. You don't get to go and experience things in its true form or its fullest capacity, because you're living in a filter of fear. When you're climbing, you have to look through that fear. Yeah, there's a fear of falling. There's a fear of potential injury and maybe even death. But when you accept those potentials, whether they be high or big in that percentage of happening, when you accept those things and you break through, you feel so accomplished as an individual. Nobody can tell you how you feel. That is for each person to experience themselves when they come to that point. When you climb something and you have that fear of falling or dying, it's the same as failing at something. Fear is fear. Whether it's fear of dying or fear of failing something catastrophically, fear is fear. It's the same kind of thing. You accept fear as, or failure as, the opportunity to grow.
So with all of that, with the rock climbing and facing fears and overcoming things, how do you, what is the parallel between that and your day-to-day life when you're not up on a mountain?
Yeah. The first thing people always say about rock climbing, I'm not strong enough. It's like the number one thing. I can't do it, I'm not strong enough. Bullshit. Climbing is three parts. Technique, strength, it's about balance. You have to have an inner balance. So you have to be, the balance I look at as a physical side of things, and then also the mental side of things. When you go through a physical thing, your mind is the strongest muscle in your body. Mm-hmm. Your mind will tell you you're dying when you're 1 mile in of a marathon. Your lungs are on fire, you're dying. You know, it's the worst pain in the world. But yet you know that your body can go so much further. I mean, you look at anything, the special operators in the military, it doesn't matter what you do. Your mind will give out before your body truly does. So with climbing, it was more of a mental mastery. Something that I have to deal with on a daily basis. Whether I meditate or I work out to let go of all these things and build up emotions. It is a battle of mind over matter kind of thing. And one of my favorite quotes is by Neil Armstrong. Is, I walked on the moon, what can't you do? Right? So, like, that's not a very... I mean, there's the physical capacity of being an astronaut, especially going to the first one going to the moon. It's such a psychological trip. Yeah. I mean, that is so much what they're into. It's like, how are you going to respond under these catastrophic amounts of stress? You have to be perfect. You have to be. There was no... If they failed, they wouldn't have landed on the moon. If I'm in it, and I'm locked in, and I'm focused... It doesn't matter what you're doing, who you are, or what's going on. It's not going to get me. When you're locked in and you're tuned in, every cell in your body is in tune. You feel everything. And you're so fucking present in the moment. Man, that is... You can't stop people. And if we were all like that, oh, man.
Yeah.
Where could we be? Yeah, where could we be?
So now, what about taking that same drive, that same... ability to overcome fear and applying it to your personal life and relationships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us have fear of rejection or being turned down when it comes to like asking someone out or something like that.
Right.
So do you think that same drive has helped you in how you approach relationships?
Recently, yeah. Okay. I'd have to say more recently, since the first time I met you guys, I think you guys were actually a big catalyst for me to be more open to myself and be more honest with myself, saying I like these things and I don't like these things, and not being afraid to voice either way, to say no or yeah, I'm cool with this, and not feel bad if I say no, you know, and to be able to move that forward with where I am with you guys, you know, in life. The mental toughness I was just talking about. This is a new realm. This is a new climbing route, so to say. I'm climbing a new mountain. Mm-hmm. Proverbial, but it's a new mountain.
But you're finding the pieces, you're finding the puzzle pieces to walk that line. And by gaining experience, by saying, yes, this is something I can do, boom, handhold right here. Now I can get to the next level.
Yeah.
Oops, this is something that I'm not wanting to do, or this isn't my style.
Track, yeah.
Rock came loose a little bit, fell a little bit. redo things and
you
now gotta,
you should be a climber already, man. You're already in it.
I have a terrible fear of heights. I've been climbing a few times, been rappelling a few times.
No heights either.
Yeah, terrible fear of heights. That it's my only real like big crazy fear, and it is something that I know exactly what you're talking about. In this is a way to face that fear and to overcome it, and it can be done in a safe manner that, you know, especially when you're there with somebody else that's on the rope down below you and you trust them, and that's kind of the same thing that I think that we're developing here with you and Spark is you're finding somebody. Yeah, you're finding a team of people that you trust and that maybe you're willing to be put in a position that might be a little uncomfortable for you, but you want to try it. You want to face that fear.
Uncomfortable is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uncomfortable is good.
So one of the other things that happened in that first weekend or however long it was when you came out and we did the photo shoot, you actually got to be there behind the scenes for Restless. Yeah, one of the film that we were shooting at the time. At the time that we were recording this, it's our newest film that we released. Had you ever been privy to experience like that before?
No.
And so what was that like for you going from, okay, I've done some dabbling in, you know, erotic film, erotic photos and stuff like that. So what was that like to be behind the scenes and see something come to fruition like that?
It was new, but it wasn't new. And I say that because I've done a lot of acting in my life, stage acting. So like seeing all the behind stuff, the set, the crew and all that fun stuff, I've done it, been there, I know it, being a grip, all these things. To see that world of acting and portrayal, oh yeah, that was, I mean, I really don't have the words to put together to say what that was. It was beautiful. It was very well done. There was a lot going on that night.
I will that say that
it was exhausting. I'm not gonna lie.
Because that was, you know, for a little, you know, behind the scenes here, for that particular film, we not only had myself, three other gentlemen, and Rogue being in the scene. Yeah, my fiance. We had our two cameramen. We had our Vashi directing. Yep. We had our sound man, and then
we had
also,
all the wives and girlfriends.
We had all
of the men who
of
were involved,
the partners as well.
Also
so
our Spark girls.
Off camera, let alone that we have five people on camera for that one, but off camera we had
like four or five,
six. I think.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people.
Because we had a lot of the Spark team there supporting in some ways,
absolutely.
One way or another, and then you were there too, and it was we've never.
All
had
I did
that.
Was hold the curtain so people could go in and out. Exactly. That was my job, and I did that job well.
Everybody had a job.
Everybody has a job on set.
But so
I was a pro at that.
Yeah, you're so good. You're like, I can do this.
So seeing something like that, I'm sure that coming into this environment and this group of people and being open-minded about, you know, I'll do photos, no problem. I've done that before. But as I understand it, you've never done any sort of erotic film or anything like that. Do you think that being able to see how everyone operated in that space sort of alleviated some of the question marks that sort of surround that, what could happen, what is to be expected? Do you think it sort of relieved some of the...
It did alleviate some, but I think that there was so much going on with so many people that it was just so much stimulation I mean, it took me weeks after I left to really compute it all, kind of like, was that real? Yeah, okay, that really did happen. Okay, cool. Well, I was really there. Okay. To process that took a while. So, I mean, I remember, you know, just before everything really got towards the end of the film, I was exhausted,
that's
obviously,
right.
from traveling, and I went to go to bed, but just from pure physical exhaustion. But it was exhausting, too, in a sense, because there was so much going on. So many personal boundaries were being shown light on and pushed. Not in a bad way, not forcefully, but just, okay, this is new, this is different, well, I'm okay with this. And everybody was super respectful when you approached me, which was remarkable, because I'm glad that your Vashi actually tied you and I in together before I actually came out the first time, because having a connection of a person of my age group and just being able to click like you and I have, and then you coming up and saying, I would like you if you are willing to,
participate. And I said no, but the way you approached me and the way that you took my response, it was, I didn't feel bad, I didn't feel indifferent, it was just, thank you, I really appreciate the offer, and I appreciate the opportunity, I just wasn't quite ready, and you respected that, and...
Well, yeah, and I mean, and that's like the ground rule for Spark Erotic, is that we are not a mainstream film company, you're not... signing your life away. You're not coming onto this and signing a contract and then we tell you what to do. We are, like you said, we're absolutely a collaboration of people and ideas, and we never want to put someone in a position where they're uncomfortable, but we do like to give the opportunity to push that boundary, to put someone in a position where they might find out that this is something that turns them on, or maybe they are exposed to it through us, and then behind closed doors with their partner or whomever, they can then explore that thing or that fetish or what have you. And so with that, yeah, Spark tries to make everyone as comfortable as possible. We always make sure to, you know, we rarely ever have like a script or something like that and say, hey, this is what you're going to be doing today. You know, I don't think
Well,
that
we have scripts. What we do is, what I do with the script, actually, is instead of just saying this is what you're doing today, is I give them a script far enough in advance so people can say, I wouldn't really say it that way, I would say it this way. But or instead of, you know, driving off this way, how about we wait until this and then she drives off or something. And so they have maybe some better insight of what the character might do. And so I'm very liquid with that.
Mm-hmm. You guys are fluid. The other thing that you were saying is, like, you allow the opportunities to break open boundaries, personal boundaries, but you guys are also very much so respectful, and I mean this, if someone's like, this is not for me, you guys are so beautiful in the way, like, okay, it's not for you, there's no harm, there's no sense of feeling bad or rejected.
Yeah, we're not going to condemn you.
No, you guys
for
are so, like,
you
guys
don't
do.
We,
you guys are so polite and courteous, whether it's I am or I'm not. And you guys are completely supportive, 100%, either way. And that was one thing I picked off right off the bat, was it didn't matter if I was for it or not, you guys were cool, and you guys were always going to be there and be able to communicate, whether I was always, whether this trip was me just coming out and hanging with my friends or doing some more work with you guys, it didn't matter. You guys are who you are. You guys are consistent with the persons that you are, and consistency is a big thing for me, and you guys have been consistent since the day I've met you. And that's big.
Well, I was going to say, too, I want to say that I'm just really curious, because it's always been kind of interesting. As I started talking to you, it really wasn't sexual at all. There was no sexual, no sensuality. It was more us talking just as two people. And I recognized you weren't just some pretty boy out there or anything. We were really talking. But it was more we were talking about activities and, you know, physicality and that sort of stuff. And I was just really curious about, and I found you to be a very traditional person in many ways. How does this really wonderful, you know, American traditional boy, you know, go into saying, I want to talk about this, and yeah, you are a film company, and could I get involved, and you really took a huge, I thought that was freaking brave as hell of you to jump into a stranger's, you know, into this, because you had no idea.
Yeah, this whole environment.
This whole environment was so foreign. A traditional kind of guy, you know, jumping into this and doing this, and you have just grown so much. I've watched you, and it's just
amazing.
It's
been kind of fun to watch. Have you guys really watched it?
I kind of
want to
know what that was for you.
Since the first time I met you guys in person, and it's been less than a year since I've been out here for my second time, knowing the transformations that I've gone through, and then have my friends, you guys, see it and acknowledge it and go, wow.
Yeah.
That's big for me, because I was in a very strange place in my life. I was, you know, revealing a lot of things from my past and working through a lot of just stuff from work, personal life, you know, previous agendas and prejudices and all these things going on, and knowing that I want to express myself, and knowing that I have this, before I met you guys, probably what I thought was maybe like the taboo, the not good feelings, but knowing that, why is that really bad? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm expressing myself, but for some reason it has gotten into my head that that's bad or not okay.
There's like a guilt or a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. A shame. A shame is probably the big one. Not a guilt, but more of a shame. Is that okay? And knowing that, like, yeah, it is. if I'm 100% okay with it and I'm able to communicate within myself to myself saying, yes, I'm okay with this, I want to do this, I don't feel forced or obligated, I want to do this, and then be encouraged and have the opportunity and the space allowed to do that, it's been, it's like being swimming in a pool in your backyard to jumping in the middle of the fucking ocean. You guys created such a space. It's like, oh my God, there's a lot of fucking water here. I can't see the bottom. I can't see land. But okay, here we are. There's a lot of opportunity to grow.
I do know how to swim.
Oh, there's a donut over there. I'm going to swim to that little, that ring, and I'm going to do this. But you guys created not just a space, but,
It's really opened your eyes to the possibilities of what you would even consider.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Well, there's something about giving yourself that permission.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
And it really can be. But finding yourself in a position surrounded by the right people, you know, even if you're in this ocean of newness and new events and new people and all of that, but as long as you are in a safe space and you trust the people around you, you can then trust yourself. You can then give yourself permission to, okay, this isn't something I've done before, but I want to try it. And there is always that fear of failure with it, but like you said, without that fear, is it even worth trying?
Right. Yeah. That's kind of how I look at it. Like, well, if you weren't afraid to do something, is that really doing something new?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it is, because it's not pushing your boundaries.
So let me ask you this then. So can you equate to me facing those rock walls and climbing those rock walls and also facing and climbing the walls of your sexuality? Make a link for me on that. How do you equate some of that to your sexual journey and your sexual walk?
Let's see if I can bridge this one here. Climbing, you're in the moment. You're not thinking of the future. You're not thinking about the past. Because the moment you start doing either one of those, you lose focus and you're falling. You're failing. And you can't get past that. The moment that you're in it, you focus, I'm climbing, it's, you're feeling everything. The stone on your fingertips, the swelling in your muscles, the burning sensation, the shaking in your body that you can't control because of that fear and the pushing of the limits of the physical realm. You find a sense of euphoria being so fucking present. And when it comes to me and sexuality, if I was to express something with someone on even be my wife, my girlfriend, whatever, a deep connection with someone, if you can be in that moment and you can be present 100% and you experience everything, yeah, it's with another person, it's not a rock. If they can do the same, I mean, Jesus, how beautiful is that? Like, wow. I mean, the electricity that is created there is like a lightning storm. It's different in a sense of that scares me more than rock climbing.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's so new. This is a new territory for me. It's new ground. It's groundbreaking. It's like tilling a new field and being able to plant a new harvest and going, okay, this is going to take a lot of work. But I know if I do the right work and I do this right and I put the energy and the time into it, this is going to be an amazing experience, and the harvest is going to be huge. The bounty is going to be good. If you can just trust the process and give yourself the space and the permission to be okay with it and express yourself in a healthy and positive manner, as long as you're being positive and healthy and respectful, there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And finding people who are like-minded, I find, is probably the biggest challenge. Whereas, like, a rock climb, you know what you're getting into. Oh, this is a 10A, or this is a 515, which is, like, the hardest climb in the world. I can't do that. But you know what that rating is. Whereas a person...
It's all unknown.
It's uncharted territory. Yeah. The earth is flat kind of idea. You start creating with them, and it's... If that person is synergistic with you and they reciprocate that, I mean, I think we can all relate that we've had those very special moments, whether it be with a loved one or someone we didn't know in a foreign country, whatever. You remember those for the rest of your life in the deepest, most sacred parts of your body. Mm-hmm. And so for me, for climbing and the sexuality, there's a big fear in just not letting that fear drive me. Mm-hmm. Let it motivate me, but not drive me either away or too deep into something that I'm not comfortable with. I can go on.
No, it all comes back to exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. It's allowing, it's giving yourself that permission. It's overcoming the shame, overcoming the fear, and getting past all of these hurdles that we tend to put up for ourselves, whether it be from upbringing or other people's opinions or what have you, and really getting into your own and allowing yourself to try something new, which can be as simple as meeting a new person at a bar and asking them out, or being in an erotic film situation and saying, I haven't done this before, and it scares me, but it excites me, too. And so, why not give it a shot?
I like that a lot, because if you give yourself permission to experience something like that, you just never know the possibilities.
Exactly.
The possibilities, that possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm.
One last thing that I want to ask you, something that I like to ask everybody when I sit down with them, because we are talking about sex and erotic films and all of those things, I love to hear, you know, knowing now where you're at and where you've come and how you're still changing your sexual nature and what you're willing to try and everything. Where did we come from in the beginning? What was it like for Wade Jones his first time having sex?
Well, I was a little horn dog in high school. my first time having sex was actually the same day the first time I ever tried smoking pot.
Hand in hand, right? Oh, you were doomed.
Beautiful day. I remember everything about that, actually. It was a very out-of-body experience, and I was always the ugly duckling in high school and all that stuff. I was trash can, putting lockers and stuff and all that. Fun things, nightmares of high school, but my sexuality was like, I was, the wind would blow and I'd be hard. It was very awkward in gym and all these things for me. My first time was homecoming. I was a sophomore in high school, and we had gone out of school, gone down to the, you know, creek where my school was at, smoked pot, and I was really high. I couldn't even really talk, and my girlfriend at the time, we went to this little smoothie shop, and I got the Strawberry Fields smoothie. And the only reason why I got the Strawberry Fields is because I love the Beatles, and that's the only thing I can fucking say. Long story short, we have those. We're walking back up to the game. And we walk through the cemetery that surrounds part of our school. And we're going to go smoke again. And my girlfriend at the time just started making out. And next thing I know, she's on top of me on a grave. And even as a kid, I knew this was really fucking weird and really different. But, I mean, as a horned-up teenager, you couldn't, like, fuck it. We're doing this.
Yeah, you don't, yeah.
I wasn't giving a shit about the dead body.
16-year-old guy, yeah, you don't, I don't care where I am.
Zombies rising, I didn't give a damn. You know, Thriller could have been going off in the distance. It's a boneyard. I was focused.
It's a boneyard, right?
And I remember it very, very vividly. I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't very long.
Yeah, it never is.
Yeah. Hey, whatever. It was amazing. And it was something that I will definitely remember for the rest of my life. It was definitely very visceral. It was all done, too. There was like this maybe it was the pot that I didn't feel awkward about it, but I was like, oh, that was awesome. Fuck yeah, that was cool. And we went to watch the football game.
How long did you guys stay together after that?
A couple months. I mean,
the high school romance.
Did you go back unfortunately, to the cemetery?
I don't have a lot of luck with a lot of relationships long term wise.
Not yet.
Thank you. I like that. Not yet. I haven't found the right vibration yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that because it takes the right person to find the right person.
Absolutely. I'm sure you can relate to that one.
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I think that actually helps. I think coming into this and being allowed to be me, mm-hmm. One of the things I always said to myself is be you. Mm-hmm. Be who you are 110%. No matter what other people think about you, as long as you're not causing harm or being a bad person or evil, just be you. And I think the right persons will come along at the right time. Unfortunately, I'm an impatient person, so these things have been very long press for me, learning patience in life, thank you. But yet, here I am working on 36 years in my life, and 35 years old, I met you guys. That kind of goes hand in hand to me personally, in my life journey of people coming in the right time at the right place, you know, the right place at the right time. And who knows? I mean, maybe my future wife or my future partner or whatever is in this group. I don't know. But regardless, I have been given the opportunity just to be me and express that. And I know that I'm going to find, I already have found people who are very similar and very accepting and encouraging and supportive in what I'm going through. And even if I'm having an intense moment, like your wife helped me through a moment, and she was like, well, how do you feel? She was very sweet about it. And it was so simple just to kind of have someone from the outside in the same world, same like mind, to pause you, put you in a check, and then realize, oh, yeah, you're right. This is not so crazy. Mm-hmm. I made it more crazy than it really mm-hmm. was. And just to have that support to where you can just pick up and just continue to roll forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all of those things, we can really build something up in our minds, whether it be walking into an erotic film set or when you're 15, 16 years old and you're going to have sex for the first time and then it's done and you're like, okay, that was good. I mean, I
had a good time.
Yeah, I didn't see fireworks go off like in the movies or what have you, but...
But you knew you wanted to do it again.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And there is, like we've been talking about this whole time, there's something about putting yourself in a position that might be uncomfortable, it might be challenging, you might be afraid of it, but if you can surround yourself with the right people that will help you to be in that right headspace, then who knows what you can accomplish.
The right headspace, I think, is the big thing. Mm-hmm. If you're not there, you're limiting yourself as an individual, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Doing your homework, or building a house or whatever. If you're limiting yourself to your creativity and your own personal space, you're not being you. Mm-hmm. You're being a shell of yourself. And I think that too many times we find ourselves being deluded by social media, by what the opinions of others. We're so dependent on that instant feedback of what others think. It shouldn't be that. It should be about what you feel and what you think about yourself. I mean, I deal with self-confidence issues since I was a child. Mm-hmm. I do not see what other people see. I know that I'm not a bad-looking guy, mm-hmm. but I don't see what you guys see, and I never will.
Oh, wait, I'm going to challenge you on that. What did you see when I showed you your photos?
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah. That was definitely the start of all of this. Mm-hmm. But before that, I mean, 34 years prior to that, you know, mm-hmm. or less than that.
Well, that's kind of what I think there's a major power about being able to have someone show you what they see. And there's a huge power in that, to have to be forced to see that and kind of go, oh, fuck, that is me. Mm-hmm. And you can't lie all of a sudden. It's right there. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's a reflection that you can't deny, I guess. But and I find that to be very powerful. And I've seen, I don't know, I saw you have to deal with that.
I think the good thing about those photos was because, as weird as this may sound to some people or stupid or whatever the case may be, personal opinion, don't give a shit. When I saw those photos, before you guys actually gave me your opinion on what you saw, I looked at them. I was blown away by them. But yet, I went into my own inner self, and I started nitpicking the shit out of my body, about my positions, the way I was composing, all these things. And I could look at, oh, I was feeling this and that. But then you guys gave me your expressions of what you guys saw and what you guys felt from those photos. And it was one of those reality checks of,
wow, okay, it's completely different. Completely different spectrums. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me the opportunity, like, yeah, you're fucking right. I did. That was good. That is beautiful. And to stop nitpicking it.
Yeah. That's allowing hard. Yourself permission
to like it,
to like it, to love yourself, to take
love yourself. I love that.
Yeah, to
appreciate
it. Because I'm right there with you.
It
was a very big deal for me to go from being behind the camera to in front of the camera to having photos taken to being in a film, and then afterwards, the feedback that I got from my peers, from the people that have watched the film and everything. And allowing myself to accept that feedback, to say, you know what? Yeah, I would love it if I had an inch less on my tummy right there, or if I had a little bit more bicep, or if I had been in da-da-da-da-da. We're always going to have an image for ourselves of what perfection would be. It's never going to be attainable.
So I have something off that. After reading the article in the magazine about you, you guys talk about stretch marks and you talk about dad bods and all these things. And the perception that we have in today's society is being perfect. Mm-hmm. Having that instant gratification, those instant, oh, I want to work out, I want to be fit as fuck, these things, I want to be healthy, I want to be sexy. And people think that's an overnight thing. It's not. It's about embracing who you are. Mm-hmm. It's about accepting who you are. And appreciating who you are. And I think that when you can figure those things out and really kind of start finding that the harmony between those, that's, for me, I feel that's when you feel the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you love yourself, respect yourself, appreciate yourself, and everything that you have to offer, knowing your weaknesses, knowing your strengths, building off of those things, building off your weaknesses, capitalizing off of your strengths, being humble. That to me is a truly good and beautiful person, and this company, this group of people, this family, absolutely 100% supports it and creates that and allows that to be what you guys are. You guys have created that space just by being your individual selves, who like-minded came together and made it work really well. So to have those stretch marks, to have the dad bod. It's not about having that six pack. It's fucking overrated. I can tell you right now. It's fucking stupid. A lot of work, a lot of dedication, self-discipline. It's cool, but at the same time, it's like, Jesus, it's so much work. And you don't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. It is nice to have that Arnold Schwarzenegger. But not everybody's about it. But if that's what you're about, that's cool. But it's not necessary to look at you and go, oh, I have to be that way. Mm-hmm. Be you. Be strong in who you are, believe in yourself, and that sexiness, that beautiful nature will come out, I think.
Everybody has that within them, whether they have the six-pack or not.
That's everything that Spark Product is. It's be genuine. Be you.
Yeah.
That's all we want to capture. And that's why you said, you know, why do we respect your boundaries so much? Because the last thing we would ever want to do is show anything that makes anybody look uncomfortable at all, because that's not what we are.
Yeah.
It's got to be absolutely genuine and real, or I don't want to show it.
And with that, we don't want to produce something that someone looks at and then feels that shame for seeing it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I don't feel that any of the videos I've watched, even the behind the scenes stuff you guys edit, never once looked at any of those things like, yeah, everything like, man, that's really well done. And I would be like, every video I've seen, I'd be proud to have done that, whether it be a girl or not. Like, damn, that's well done. It's good.
And that's what we want, is we want our audience to be able to look at what we do and say, I would do that.
Mm-hmm. I want to be an extra in the background. Like, even that. Yeah.
We've had people reach out and do that.
That's big. I mean, I think that really makes a good company, and I think your guys' work shows that.
Well, we obviously could keep doing
this
throughout the rest of the afternoon.
You're really easy to talk to. You could give great answers.
I think this is a good spot for us to pause this one and wrap it up. I have a feeling that there will be much more to come from Wade Jones. I can't imagine this is the last time that we're going to be sitting down and talking to you. I want to thank you for exposing yourself and giving us exposing your feelings and being honest with us and our audience, giving us the time And yeah, thank you so much for sitting down and being a part of things. Everybody at home, listen to what we've said today. Give yourself permission to try something new and to challenge yourself, and stay tuned for more to come from Wade Jones and from Sparker. Yeah. Let's call it good.
Yep. See, that was great. We just walked into it.
That was great.
It's perfect.